This is 2020.
Fuse Box.
You know, that's good advice. Maybe think of relocating to a nice, warm climate. Oh, I don't know. How about the sun? Hello, friends, and indeed, Happy New Year! Yes, as Mr. Downs said there at the very, very tip-top of the show, it is indeed 2020, beginning of a new decade, and the start of what could potentially become a most memorable year for any number of reasons, political and non-political. It promises many surprises, I think. Welcome in, friends, to this, the 135th edition of Fusebox, and the first show of the new year, as well as the start of our sixth year at doing whatever this is we do here. I don't know. I'm your Wrapped in Emails from Foreign Correspondents host, Mark Rose, and joining me on this illustrious sixth anniversary excursion, the Prime Minister of the Mix, Milt Keynes. Everybody.
Thank you kindly, and happy anniversary to us, too.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah.
And you know what? We say it absolutely every year, but who'd have thunk it?
Well, you know, it keeps us off the street, and that's the important thing. I mean, now I know you still like to hang around abandoned Stuckey's restaurants after midnight, but...
Well, that's just purely research.
Yeah? What are you researching?
And speaking of assorted riffraff. Well, we've done it again, friends. This is the third time in our nation's history that we have impeached a standing president of the United States. Although, technically, in Richard Nixon's case, he just resigned, grabbed his bags, and then flew away.
Oh, man, I remember that day. Giving us all that double peace sign as he hightails it out of Dodge.
Yeah, and hence the title of our program this time out. Technically, not truly unprecedented yet. And unless Rudy Giuliani has a 70mm IMAX print of the orange guy robbing the Deutsche Bank, I think there's very little hope then that it will make it through the Senate.
Now, the thing that gets me is... It's supposed to be a trial, right?
Yes, sir. The Senate are actually considered jurors in the process.
Right. So, it's like all the GOP jurors have already decided the verdict and are conspiring with the accused guy to throw the trial. Now, where the hell does that happen?
Right here, right now, it would appear, Mr. Keynes. As you know, there will be a presiding judge overseeing this process, but even that has the most bizarre of rules and qualifications, as the sitting judge can actually be overruled by the senators with a majority vote. Now, you try that in a criminal case.
Be pretty popular with the defendants, though,
yeah? Yeah, well, no doubt. You know, we're still hearing rumblings about more evidence emerging and so forth. But we'll just have to see what happens after January 6th when everybody goes back to the business of government.
Man, I tried to watch those hearings.
Yeah?
But I get so damn pissed off with those toe-headed morons endlessly quoting GOP talking points and totally ignoring the actual evidence that I just had to tune out.
Yeah, well...
And by the way... You know, it's not because I'm confused by the amount of information. That's the other load of pig wind they'll try and blow at us. Oh, it's just so complicated and has so many characters that, well, why don't we just forget about it and move along?
Yeah, I don't think the character count will stop the process for the public. That's for sure. As a matter of fact, recent polls show that 70% of Americans want the Senate to call witnesses. Something Senate Majority Leader and part-time gopher turtle impressionist Mitch McConnell has repeatedly said he doesn't want to do. And there is so much data here that it is cumbersome to take it all in, but you got to start somewhere, right? So obstruction and abuse of power is as good as any other place to start.
With the tumor's buddy Rudy running to Ukraine during the impeachment proceedings to, quote, make a documentary, which I hear is awful, by the way. He's supposed to have done interviews with a guy who was actually at the center of the corruption to begin with, and he's supposed to be one of his advocates.
Yeah, it can't be grand. I heard that as well. And if nothing else, the timing to just kind of whiz over to Ukraine, you know, is just horribly awkward and maybe a little desperate.
Well, I'll tell you, with all the way things happen lately, they could uncover another dumpster of evidence any day now. I mean, it's crazy, man.
And speaking of gross copyright infringements, I don't know if you saw this the other day, but did you know that we actually have a trade deal with the country of Wakanda?
With who?
Yep. The fictional country of Wakanda. This is the birthplace and secret country where dwells the Marvel Comics character Black Panther.
Yeah, I'm not following.
Well, up to just a few days ago, Wakanda was listed as a trade partner on the USDA website, as listed by the White House, complete with the little drop-down menu there, showing just how much trade is actually going on with the fictional Marvel comic land from the Black Panther series. Quoting Mike Ellenberg, a USDA spokesman, quoting now, over the past few weeks, the Foreign Agricultural Service staff who maintain the tariff tracker, I presume that's a little piece of software there, have been using test files to ensure that the system is running properly. The Wakanda information should have been removed after testing and has now been taken down. So there were evidently hundreds of data inputs for Wakanda. This was the nation that I'm informed was first appeared in the, July 1966 Marvel comic Fantastic Four, number 52. I don't think I had that one. Different commodity groups offered on drop-down menus range from fresh vegetables and unroasted coffee beans to essential oils and, of course, livestock.
You gotta be kidding me.
No, Mr. Gaines, no joke. It appears that each commodity group had separate entries that provide details on the tariffs for each product. For example, yellow potatoes had to maintain 0.5 cents per kilogram base rate when shipped in from Wakanda, while frozen Chinese water chestnuts were, of course, tariff-free. Cows were also tariff-free.
Oh, thank God.
Ah, but there was this CYA statement, too. Quoting, the information displayed is not official and should only be used as a general reference. Each importing country's customs office maintains the right for final determination of tariff treatment. And our buddies over there at Marvel, they didn't respond to this when asked about the fictional nation's apparent temporary trade agreement with the U.S.
You know, if I'm Marvel, I'd be bringing some pain.
Well, if that wasn't enough, they have yet another reason then. This report coming in from the folks over there at IO9 Donald Trump's campaign has likened the President of the United States to Thanos, the depraved villain from the Marvel Comics television series and film franchise.
Wait, what? What? Isn't Thanos that giant guy who wants all the gems in that glove so he can kill everyone in the world? That guy?
Yes, Mr. Gaines. That guy. Quoting here from Io9's piece again, late Tuesday evening, the, quote, Trump War Room.
War Room?
Yes. Yes, this is a verified Twitter account, evidently, managed by his 2020 election campaign. So these folks tweeted a video in which Thanos, with Trump's head superimposed on this character, delivers his famous speech from the Avengers Endgame movie, in which he declares himself inevitable before snapping and then realizing that Tony Stark's secretly stolen all of the Infinity Stones, rendering the gauntlet positively useless. In the Trump team's edited video, Thanos Trump's snap leads to Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats being turned into dust.
What?
Now, yes, but you know what? And I think it's really important to remember here what actually happened to Thanos, friends. Sorry, spoiler alert. You can just hum loudly now through the next part if you like. Thanos, in that final film, gets his ass summarily beaten once and for all, which you would think whoever made this video, of course, would understand. The larger issue, of course, is the way the video can be interpreted as a threat. Because Thanos literally murders half of the universe, which isn't something that Trump or, frankly, any White House official should be joking about. And quoting from Io9 again, hours after the Trump team posted the video, Jim Starlin came right out and denounced the president for the inappropriate co-opting of his comics creation. Speaking to the Hollywood Reporter, Starlin said that he found the video distasteful because of what it says about how Trump sees himself. Quoting Jim Starlin now, after my initial feeling of being violated, seeing that pompous fool using my creation to stroke his infantile ego, it finally struck me that the leader of my country and the free world actually enjoys comparing himself to a mass murderer. How sick is that? These are sad and strange times we are going through. Fortunately, all things, even national nightmares, eventually come to an end. How sick is that indeed, Mr. Starlin? Yes, well, you know, we do continue to live in interesting times.
You know, maybe they get, like, the Hulk, Captain Marvel, and maybe the Thing to go over there and explain copyright laws to them.
Well, you know what? Maybe they get Doctor Strange to hold the meeting with those guys in some hell dimension, where he just gets to hear this throughout time.
Article 1 is adopted. Article 2 is adopted. Article 1 is adopted. Article 2 is adopted. Article 1 is adopted. Article 2 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 is adopted.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. Well, when we return, more creepy smartphone apps to invade your life.
How would you like a spanking?
TheFuseBoxShow.com.
Well, friends, there seems to always be a new threat to our dwindling privacy concerns.
Hell, do we have any left?
Well, that's a valid point, Mr. Keynes, and this latest bit of shenanigans affects both iOS and Android devices. It's called To Talk, spelled T-O-T-O-K, and it was obviously meant to sound like the popular social network thingy, which also explains why this thing went viral as fast as it did. This thing has been downloaded millions of times on phones of all persuasions to become one of the most downloaded apps in the U.S. Well, this little nasty is nothing less than a spying app masquerading as a chat tool. In reporting from the New York Times, it was discovered that this thing was tracking every conversation, movement, relationship, appointment, sound, and image of those who installed it.
Wait a minute. Don't they have, like, safeguards or some shit to prevent that kind of thing?
Yes. Yes, they do. But let me tell you something. The developers of this particular thing are of a distinction that you might even say approach royalty in terms of their abilities and such things to develop this code. The company responsible, Breege Holding, is suspected to be a front company affiliated with an outfit called Dark Matter. And these cats are located in Abu Dhabi, and they are a noted cyber intelligence and hacking firm that, according to the Times here, employs ex-NSA and Israeli military intelligence and Emirati intelligence agents. To complicate things more, the technical analysis reveals To Talk also is linked to an outfit called Pox AI, a data mining firm that's also from Abu Dhabi. They, too, seem to be joined at the hip to this Dark Matter group. And Dark Matter is also being currently investigated by the FBI for cyber crimes.
Well, this is just plain sloppy. I mean, don't you think by now that these app stores would have, like, data-sniffing rhinos that can tell them when they're trying to play fast and loose?
Like I say, Mr. Keynes, it's pretty sophisticated coding at work here. Hell, there are so many of these apps out there right now that may not go as quite as far as this one in terms of eavesdropping on everything a person does, but they still do phone home frequently with all sorts of data and are freely used by folks all the time.
Yeah, I don't have one. I don't want one. Don't want to be that available either.
I hear you. I personally just don't think we live in that world at present. I mean, you could, and some have, drop off the grid entirely, and some brave folks are making a go of that. For myself, I just don't think that it would be, at the very least, practical at all.
I could do it in a New York minute, or maybe an Altoona minute. I'm not quite as fast as I used to be.
And as you might have expected, the app has been removed from both the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store, and it is strongly advised, friends, that if you're using this thing or it's on your phone, delete it at once.
Yeah, maybe even more than at once. Do it at twice and 117 more times after that. Make damn sure.
You know, here's actually an interesting sidebar to this. Where this app originated, the UAE, the United Arab Emirates, many, if not all, messaging and social networking apps are either banned or controlled very severely from use. So when one somehow seemingly slips through, the populace jump on it. You can't blame them.
Yeah, I get that.
And it also reveals another layer in this whole web thing, which has always been around, but maybe not for the reason everyone assumes. I'm talking about the dark web.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that. I mean, you can do some pretty nasty shit in there. I mean, literally, can't you buy a hit on somebody if you want?
Yes. Yes, you can, along with other nefarious things. But listen, one of the biggest uses of this platform is from folks who live in parts of the world where gaining access to the internet is either limited or banned or completely, whatever. So in order to communicate with one another, especially in highly monitored areas of the world, these channels were formed in order to be outside the government-imposed specs and control. So, by using what's known as a Tor browser, T-O-R, utilizes a specific file type called a .onion file, and these, in turn, allow access to the under-the-radar channels, and completely anonymous. You cannot be traced.
You know, you seem to know a little too much about...
Well, where do you think I got Eco and Milo, the Japanese pocket squirrels, Mr. Keynes? I mean, they're not a PetSmart kind of thing, you know what I'm saying?
Dark Web! Yay!
Oh, I get it. Okay. Now it starts to click together. You don't have a brother named Sergey, do you?
No. So you can see that even though this web alternative has some pretty nefarious alliances, the root of it was not expressly designed for that purpose. It's become that only because, well, no restrictions means just that. No restrictions. Anything goes, and that's what we got.
I'd just be too afraid that the knock on the door was the last sound I ever heard.
Well, seeing that you never answer the door, not too much of a threat. Now, it really depends on what you do. By the way, anyone can access this place with the right software. It's not as mysterious as it's painted. Now, you might want to disguise your initial search and setups by using a VPN or some sort of cloaking app, of course. But it is virtually impossible to stop this. Anytime someone is nabbed for some illegal operation, someone else is right behind them to set it up again. The classic example, of course, is the site known as Silk Road. That's the site, yes, you literally could hire a hitman to do a service for you or buy drugs or whatever.
Japanese pocket squirrels?
Well, not really their stock in trade. Now, if they came with warheads, maybe.
Huh. So you think I can find a 75 AMC Pacer and Seafoam Green with a working 8-track?
Well, now you're just talking pure evil.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm exhausted, frustrated, and anxious to get PR's reports first. It's been 7 days. Researchers say that I'm getting worse since long before South Carolina spun off from Virginia earlier today. Researchers say in English, long-term percent 4.65 up to 4.11%. A new study suggests that this PR News is getting worse.
Quote, PR News, there's something pretty insidious going on.
Yes. Speaking of fake news, the wonderful Fernandinandy Lee Murr there, friends. More of his deliriousness meant can be found at archive.org, also a link in the show notes for more of that. You know, that grand old fact-checking site, Snopes.com, has launched a big crowdfunding thing to help keep it going stronger than ever in what they are predicting to be a record year of fakery.
True that.
Yeah. They evidently have sought partners in the past with some social networking giants. And in one case, for sure, walked briskly away. They were going to have a perhaps possible relationship with Facebook, for one. But stating that, quote, Facebook has more people on their PR staff than there are formal fact checkers in the world.
And your point?
Yeah. And they went on to say that fact checking in big tech environments amount to little more than, quote, credibility theater. So if Snopes was to make a difference in the fact-checking world, the best way to do it was under their own power, they thought. And understand, friends, these folks, honestly, they have like 10 people in their newsroom diligently tackling oftentimes the weirdest, wildest, most outrageous claims ever known.
Yeah, and then there's the stuff that doesn't come from the White House.
Exactly. Can you imagine? So they've set up a little enticement page over at Snopes.com where you can throw them a few bucks to keep going and even get a piece of swag or nine. Very reasonable. And hey, these cats have been around for 25 years, friends, so that speaks to their tenacity, if nothing else. And I have used them on numerous occasions when everything else has failed.
Will they tell me if Representative Devin Nunez is actually a giant Manus alien?
Dunno. But, you know, he might sue you for asking, though. He's already sued a cow, I'm told. Yeah, the folks at Snopes say they expect 2020 to be bonkers in terms of debunking this information, but the business model isn't going to get better. There will be increased traffic, and it will be bigger in traditional metrics, but I think there will also be an appetite for a venue online where you can consume information without vitriol or spin, says Vinny Green from Snopes.com.
I do not want their job.
Yeah, tough. One might even say
unrewarding.
Thank you, Mr. Wells. Although I hope for these folks' sake, it becomes very rewarding. So if you can, throw them a buck or two. We may actually find them of more use than ever in the coming year. And with that, we'll take our presidential seal and move to the other side of the aisle, but not before thanking our unimpeachable contributors, Rob Askew and Fernande Nende Lee Murr, for their gracious support on our humble production here. And thanks as well to the always ready with a gavel, the maestro of meters, Milt Caines, for technical assistance.
My pleasure, as always, and again. Happy anniversary, man.
To you as well, my friend. Thank you. And I'll thank you also to you, friends. Our undying gratitude to you for pushing play on this edition of the show. And as always, please feel free to like and subscribe to our show here from wherever you have found it, be it Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and well, yes, the very Overnightscape Underground itself. We do so very much appreciate that. And I have been your sham wrapped in a hoax inside a scam host, Mark Rowe, saying, until our next cartoon.
Fuse.